We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, the Golden Globes are this weekend. Paul Hall is going to join me at 4:20. We'll review some of the films heading into this weekend, and then we'll talk about the Globes. When it comes to entertainment, though, I'm not so sure that there would be anything that would entertain you any more than seeing my producer, Dave Klein, get on all fours in sort of a plank position, trying to recreate something that he saw on TikTok. Do you want to explain this to people? Because I've seen this video. I don't know if it's been posted yet, but I believe we should share it with the audience, Dave.
Oh, you're quite more than special. Welcome to. That's fine. No, it's
okay.
It's a
TikTok. I can put that up.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I have no problem being humiliated, as you know, because I do it all the time. I guess it's good at that too. It's a TikTok thing that my wife came upon the other day. She's on there, I'm not, where I guess it's a challenge to see whether men or women are can keep their balance more. It's a better center of gravity is what it is. See, you guys, better center of gravity. Did you try it out?
I did.
And?
I'll tell you in a second. Describe what happens. Sort of walk the audience through what you did. So you get down on your knees, and then you sort of, you know, move your body forward on your, it's sort of like you said, doing a plank, but sort of a cheater plank, right?
Right, right. So you get down in that kind of plank position, then you bring your hands up to your face so that the palms are your hands, kind of rest on your cheeks. And then in that position, that same position, you have to bring your arms behind your back and you try and keep your balance. And
right.
Usually you fall on your face. I did that very successfully about two or three times before I finally was able to hold that pose for about maybe a quarter of a second.
Yeah. Here's my experience, Dave, and here's my sense. You could likely lock me in the room that I'm in right now and say, you're going to get out when you can achieve what you're supposed to with your center of gravity, and I would basically, I'd pass away in here. I'd never never get out. I tried it a couple of times, and it was massive fail. So I don't even know how people would do it. And I didn't hit the ground with my head, but I think I would have if I not tried to balance myself. So this is crazy. Did your wife, was she able to complete it?
Oh, every single, we did it about, I'd say, four or five times. Every single time she was able to do it and hold that pose too.
You're kidding me.
No. I don't know what it is, but women are much better at it than men.
Well, women are, okay, let's just, you know, you just had it right there. Women are smarter and better at these things than we are. I think we just have to admit that, Dave.
Yeah,
but
I think you're right.
You know, and one of the things that you said that was funny, though, is you said that your wife's on TikTok and you're not. My wife drives me crazy with these TikToks, and I understand that it's a huge cultural phenomenon, and people entertain kids and adults by seeing these videos. My sister will send me videos every once in a while, and I have a one TikTok limit in my house. I had to lay down the law several months ago because Becky kept trying to show me these TikToks. I'm like, I don't want to see them, mainly because I don't think they're as funny as other people think they are. You'll see a video of someone just doing something about as stupid as can be, and it's got 3 million views. And
yeah,
I'm
I don't
just
get
scratching
it.
My head thinking, why are people... Now, when something goes viral that deserves to go viral, there was a little video that we put up on KMOX Twitter yesterday that I retweeted. You know, it's clearly clickbait because it was this cute puppy that busted in on a reporter's live shot, I think up in Michigan.
Oh, see, that's great. That's
just
good stuff.
But, you know, that maybe is not something that's going to go 3 million shares viral, but it was still, for me, I said, worth clicking. So I get why cute things and funny, unique things go viral, but for some of these things, it just doesn't make any sense. It's just the dumbest content available, but we love it, don't we?
Yeah.
We just Eat it up.
I think my wife is mainly on there too. She teaches fifth grade, so I think it's her way to kind of keep up with what her students are doing and what they're watching.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a bad idea for me just to kind of monitor it just a little bit, just to know what people are doing. Dave, I want to talk about this Attorney General in South Dakota. I touched on this, so you know there's some audio here, so kind of follow along here. So this is a guy by the name of Jason Ravensburg. And we covered this story back in the fall. He was driving in September. He thinks he hit something. At first, I think he thinks it was a deer. He does not know until the following day that he hit a person. He finds a dead body, Joseph Bever, 55 years old, in a ditch. So they just this week have released a bunch of the interviews, the police interviews, and the police reports on this particular case. There's been some articles of impeachment now filed against the AG. He's been charged with three misdemeanors. The governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, has called for his resignation. So what's interesting here is just some of the details of the case. Now, he's not stepping down. They say the official word, and these things change all the time. And someone says, no, I'm not guilty. I'm going to fight this till the end. Then they plead guilty, right? But at no time has this issue impeded his ability to do the work of the office, according to Mike Deaver, his spokesman. Bever's cousin, the guy who was hit, Nick Nemec, told the Washington Post this week that the videos that have been released confirm what he's always believed. Ravensburg knew he had struck a man that evening. He knew there was a dead man in a ditch. So he's driving home from a GOP fundraiser. I'm going to play a little audio here, including the 911 call. Redfield, South Dakota. It's 10:30 p.m. late on September 12th. His car hits something in the dark. Now, again, he says he hit a deer. He searched the ditch with his cell phone flashlight. He says, all I could see were pieces of my vehicle laying on the ground and on the roadway. That was in the statement. So the next morning, he said he wasn't drinking the night of the accident. He and his chief of staff drive back to the scene. He says, as I walked along the shoulder of the road, I discovered the body of Mr. Bever in the grass off the roadway. It was apparent Mr. Bever was deceased. Now, I'm a little unclear where the 911. Let's play the 911 call, because I think the 911 call took place. Dave, do you know? Because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't say in the story that he called the night of the accident, but let's play it here.
911, this is Allie. How can I help you?
Allie, Allie, I'm the Attorney General, and I don't know. I hit something.
I think he was calling them that next morning, if I'm not mistaken. So they find the body, and he tells his story, but now there's some holes in that story. There were three hours of interviews between detectives and Ravensburg on September 14th and September 30th. So let's play a little of the audio from this, because you can hear some of the shock in here and some of the surprise. Maybe the audio will sort of just kind of explain it here. So let's play the one where he talks about what had happened, and then he tells police he found the body. Just play those back to back, Dave.
And then, quite frankly, wham.
Okay.
I hit, you know, the incident happened. I never saw anything. But then I come up, and it was the man. And he is not good. I mean, he's dead. But I believe I did not do anything wrong, and I obviously replayed it in my mind about 1,000 times.
So he says he didn't do anything wrong. Here's where it gets kind of interesting. Now, we don't know. If he was drinking that night, clearly there would have been some concern on his part, because they could have proven that he had alcohol in his system. But listen to this exchange between the detectives and the Attorney General of South Dakota.
They're Joe's glasses. I wondered about that. So that means his face came through your windshield. It's a tough thing. Oh.
I was thinking that his face did not come through, because there would have been blood. I thought there'd been blood everywhere. Then now, you know, I've thought about it.
Yeah, and you've had time. Right. His glasses are right there, Jason. Those are Joe's.
I don't know. I don't even really know what to make of this. It doesn't sound like his story is holding together. It's hard for me to believe that if you hit something with that much impact and your windshield is broken, that if there's a pair of glasses in your car, maybe you should have done something about that if you're trying to hide something. But That's just crazy. Klein, what do you make of this? You think he's just lying and that he was drunk the night before?
I think he was drunk. That's just my two cents.
Well, he had to have been, because if he wasn't intoxicated, what would the, if it was an accident, still was an accident. I don't think there's anybody accusing him of running the guy down on purpose. And I'm a little bit confused, because in the stories that I've seen about this, I'm a little confused as to why Mr. Bever was out on that road anyway, or the, you know, basically what they hear, what they say, that he had left his Ford pickup truck on the side of the highway after driving it into a ditch. It was unclear why he returned to his vehicle the night he was struck. Okay, so he drove it into a ditch. We don't know why. It's there. He goes back to the vehicle. Maybe he had to get something out of the vehicle or something like that, and that's when he was hit. So now he has three misdemeanor charges, could face up to 90 days in jail, $1,500 in damages. Noam did call for his resignation, didn't comment on the charges, saying, "My heart goes out to Joseph Bever's family." We have one more piece of audio here to play, and this is the state's attorney, Michael Bundle.
At best, his conduct was negligent, which is insufficient to bring criminal charges in South Dakota.
Yeah, that's why just the misdemeanors. And clearly, I mean, if you're looking for the mindset of the attorney general, thinking about his career and his future, if he's intoxicated and hits someone, that's a whole lot worse than just hitting someone on accident. But usually what gets people into trouble is not telling the truth. And the cover-up sometimes is worse than the crime, as they say. I mean, I don't know if you can get worse here because you killed a guy, but got tripped up a little bit. The story changed. 316 at the Voice of St. Louis. Much more to come, including an audio cut of the day and number one songs this day in history later this hour on KMOX.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Well, I am somewhat encouraged with all the optimism on the vaccine front and with the numbers falling that we're going to get to some live music later this year. I miss it so much. I have a lot of friends who are professional musicians. These are touring folks who you might see in small clubs here in St. Louis, the old Rock House or, you know, Del Mar Hall or a place like that. Martin Sexton, Liz Longley, Anthony D'Amato, Griffin House. And these are people that are hurting right now. My buddy Johnny Holzem from the Well Hungarians here in St. Louis, who used to perform several times a week. I worry about these people, and I'm hoping that they're all right. And I hope they can get back to work soon. And there's a big, big music event that I want to support here coming up on March 12th. It's called Keep Live Alive in St. Louis. Greg Haglund is with me this afternoon. Hey, Greg, how are you? This is a great pause, and I'm glad you're involved.
Yeah,
well, I miss music, though. I just miss music so much. I feel like I would have been heading to Europe if it wasn't for the pandemic to see the E Street Band in the next couple of months, if it wasn't for all this stuff going on.
Yeah, well, we're real excited to try and make a difference here in terms of St. Louis and the live entertainment. A lot of people have been affected, of course, across the board. But, you know, the live entertainment industry was the first to be affected and will probably be the last to get out.
Unfortunately, especially with indoor venues. So tell me what you're doing here. What's coming up on the 12th?
On the 12th, we've created a 90-minute entertainment special. It's not a streaming concert, but it's a special made up of some national personalities and stars like Sammy Hagar and Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon, Paula Poundstone, as well as a myriad of local talented musicians are going to be making their mark as well. And we've got some up-and-coming artists. So it's a well-rounded show that has comedy, music, and some things. Learn some things about St. Louis.
So the website is great, by the way. It's keeplivealivestl.org. If someone makes
correct.
A donation, yeah, then what happens with the donation? So there's a grant process available for musicians and artists?
Correct. We're going to be giving out $1,000 grants for all those that qualify, and that is just, again, for the metro area of St. Louis. And they can learn out more about it and get the application at keeplivealivestl.org.
Well, it's great that you're doing this. And, you know, one of the things that I do worry about is just behind the scenes, some of the things that are affecting everyone, just the loneliness, the isolation. These are people that depend on that interaction with crowds. It's their lifestyle. I've never really, you've seen this in your career with rock acts and musicians on the road. I mean, it's a very different life. I could never do it. But they have to get out there on the road and perform, and now they can't do it at all.
Well, they have to do it for a couple of reasons. One, it's their livelihood. But number two, they live for it. They feed for it. And you see that every single night when we go to these concerts. And they have been so appreciative. People like I said, like Sammy Hagar and Kevin Cronin and local musicians have been, the minute we called to see if they'd help us and participate, the answer was an affirmative yes, and a quick yes, because they can't wait to get on in front of live audiences themselves.
So again, it's Friday, March 12th, 7 p.m., but you can really, at that time, that's when it premieres. You can watch it at any time for
Correct.
Free at keeplivealivestl.org. So once it rolls out, you can just kind of pick your time and watch it, right?
Right. It's free on demand, and it's, like I said, it's a 90-minute special.
Greg, tell us about, I know there's some great auction items up on the site as well, so how does that work?
Well, you just keep track of our Facebook page, and we've been offering different things from some memorabilia. I just donated my Budweiser Comedy Tour jacket that just went. We've had dinner with Ron Stevens and Joy Gridnick, his lovely wife. So we've been just auctioning off different things, some of the Mama's Pride, the Pat and Danny Liston albums. And you can just find out what's the latest donation item by going to our Facebook page.
What's your prediction on when we have maybe full capacity at even an outdoor venue like Verizon Wireless, where, you know, I mentioned some of the clubs, the Pageant, Del Mar Hall. You think we might get to that later this year, or is it going to be 2022?
I think we've got a shot of getting to it this year. You know, the problem is it July 1 or September 1? But I think I'm hoping and praying that September 1, Labor Day weekend, is kind of the income free for the indoor venues, and I'm hoping that they can have a great summer at some of the outdoor venues as well.
I've been thinking a lot about the moment and how magical it's going to be, and maybe it's not going to be that moment when you first get to see someone, you know, in a club at half capacity or something like that, but when you're at that show maybe a year from now or in the summer of 2022 or going overseas to see Springsteen, and when that crowd is all together and the feeling that that's going to provide after being gone for so long, because that will be magical, and the music that will come from that, just the energy that will come from that, will be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great when we can get back and as a group, because that's really what concerts are about. They're about being able to be with your friends and let your hair down, so to speak, and have a great time. But I think, you know, we'll see something this spring and summer. I can't wait to get to my first concert wherever it is. But it's been way too long.
Who would be on your list as many artists as you've seen? What would be the artist that you're dying to see right now? Is there anyone that comes to mind?
Well, you know, I can always go for another night of Elton John. I can go for a big fan of yours. You're a big fan of Bruce Springsteen. It's been quite a few years since I've seen him last. I don't know. You know, the one band I can think of right off the top of my head that I'd love to see that I've never seen live before is the Kinks. And there's always a rumor that they're going to be touring, but so far I've never seen anything come of it. But
you know, it's funny you should say that. I was in Las Vegas with a friend of mine who we have seen a lot of shows, and he was getting some artwork framed from some of his ticket stubs and programs, and I brought the Kinks up because I get into this mood every once in a while, even going back to some of the you know, the 60s Kinks, and I've never seen them either. And you're right, there have been some rumors, so they would be at the top of my list as well.
Yeah, I think to see the full band would really be great. I know they've played St. Louis in the past, but certainly not within my purview. Were they here?
Greg Haglund is with me this afternoon talking about a great event, Keep Live Alive St. Louis. But one of the things that you did, many things, you know, Greg goes back to his days with Contemporary Productions, which basically produced every big show for a long time in St. Louis. But you also, I don't know if I knew this about you, you produced the U2 Super Bowl halftime show after 9/11?
Right. I was the executive producer with that when we were at Contemporary Productions and part of Clear Channel Radio.
That had to be very unique.
It was mind-blowing. It was from the time we sat down with the band We met with them in Las Vegas a few months before the Super Bowl, and Bono was right focused in. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, and it was a very emotional time. It was the first major event in the United States post 9/11, so America was waiting for some relief, and that show delivered. And you know, there was smiles and tears all in 11 minutes.
Sort of what I refer to, you know, very different what we're going through now, but we need something. We need that moment like that. And I don't know if it's going to all happen collectively. I think individually everyone's going to have to seek out their moments, but it certainly will be interesting. And I hope we can just push forward and not get a bunch of complications with new variants and everything like that. Greg, tell folks the website one more time where they can find out all the information for the event coming up on the 12th.
You can make donations and find out information at KeepLiveAliveSTL.org.
Greg Haglund, thanks for coming on KMOX this afternoon, talking a little music.
Appreciate Thank you very much.
329 at the Voice of St. Louis.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the Voice of the Cardinals.
Welcome back. Audio cut of the day before the end of the hour. Also, we'll run down. Jane's usually here to do this with me. Number one songs this day in history, but she's off on this Friday. We'll still squeeze that in. Let's welcome in Dan O'Neill, longtime sports reporter in St. Louis, the author of I don't know how many New York Times bestsellers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Dan, how are you? Let's talk sports this afternoon. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Good to talk to you.
Let's first kind of talk about Tiger Woods and your thoughts on what happened there. It's I guess right now he's been transferred to another facility in California and just recovering from the surgeries. My understanding, just medically, there, you know, you would be worried in a situation like this about infections because these surgeries were so extensive. But he's alive, Dan, and that's saying a lot given the crash and what that car looked like the other morning.
Yeah, I think it'll be kind of interesting to see what comes out of this later on down the road, but. Yeah, you're right. He certainly is fortunate to be alive. He's also really fortunate that he didn't kill someone else, frankly.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
that's
true. He went across the median, went across the other side of the road, and never hit the brakes, apparently, or anything. So he was going at a high rate of speed and had a horrific crash. So, but just think about if he'd had somebody in the car with him or if there had been traffic coming either way. You know, we're talking about the LA area where there's always traffic, so it's kind of miraculous A, that he didn't get killed, but B, that he didn't kill someone else as well.
You know, and I could ask you a question about whether you think he'll ever play competitive golf. Nobody knows that. I mean, I'd like to think that he will. It's going to be a long recovery. But no matter what happens, you're going to have Tiger Woods involved in professional golf. It may be a different role. I don't know what that's going to be. But just the nature of what happened with Tiger Woods in the PGA world and how he inspired all these young players. Dan, I was talking about a little earlier. He made golf cool again, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he made it more athletic, more dynamic. And he, you know, he put it back on the map in a way that it hadn't been on the map for a while. A huge boost to the industry from equipment to golf course building, all the way down the line to the purses on the PGA Tour. All of that spiked because of Tiger Woods. So his impact on the game is without a doubt. You know, whether he – nobody could possibly know. I get a kick, Mark, out of some of the speculation you hear, you know, initially all these news channels and stuff. I mean, nobody knows exactly what his injury situation is, except that it's really bad. So whether he'll ever play again or not, it's anybody's guess, and at this point, really not even important. But even if he doesn't play, I mean, yeah, you know, look, right now, Phil Mickelson's exploring a career in broadcasting now that his career's kind of winding down. He's talking about doing broadcast. I mean, Tiger would break all records if he decided to become a broadcaster or something. He'd make all kinds of money, and everybody'd be after him to do that. So he'll be, you know, hopefully he'll be able to walk and live a good quality of life and everything, and he can recover. You know, the one thing that's It's funny, I've heard some people compare this to Ben Hogan's crash, and Ben Hogan had a terrible accident in 1949, and he did come back, and he 16 months later, he won a U.S. Open. But Ben Hogan was in his mid-30s, and Tiger is 45 years old. And before this crash, he had just had his fifth back surgery,
was still kind of
up in the air whether he was going to be able to play with that. So who knows what will happen down the road.
Let's talk a little baseball, Dan O'Neill, because we have an actual game that will be on the air here on KMOX on Sunday, a couple of spring training games next week. And for me, this is the toughest time, even maybe tougher than January, February, because I just want real baseball. I know this is part of the process and figuring things out. And, you know, this team, as much as Nolan Arenado brings to the team, there's still a lot to figure out in this spring training, isn't there?
Oh, I think so. I mean, Mark, we're talking about a team, you know, just a few years ago, the Cardinals had an outfield of Jim Edmonds, Larry Walker, and Reggie Sanders. And they've had outfields of Vince Coleman and Willie McGee and Andy Van Slyke and Lou Brock. I mean, look at their outfield right now. You have no idea what you're going to get from their outfield. There's not one established player in their outfield. So that's certainly a big question. The other thing that people haven't talked a lot about is their pitching staff. And, you know, when you look at their pitching staff, three of their primary guys are coming off of season-ending surgeries last year. So, you know, what are you going to get from them? I think anytime you have a situation like that, you have to go into it thinking, you know, whatever you get from them is sort of going to be a bonus. So I think they definitely have some, you know, nothing's more important in the game than pitching. And I think their pitching right now, they have some good qualities in their pitching staff. A couple of good starters with Flaherty and Kim. But the rest of it's kind of up in the air. I mean, you never know what Carlos Martinez is going to give you. He can be really good. He can be a really big question mark. You know, you just don't know with him. So I think their starting rotation is still a little bit to be determined. But otherwise, I think you have to be excited about Arenado and certainly their infield. I mean, I personally think Tommy Edman's going to be an even better player than Colton Wong if he plays on a regular basis. So their infield's going to have to carry the load for them offensively.
But the outfield situation, it's not like it's bleak. I mean, there's so much potential there. It just sort of has to take shape, doesn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's bleak. But look, their left fielder batted 173 last summer. Their center fielder batted 220. Their right fielder is Dylan Carlson, who batted 200 in a limited amount of time. So, you know, yes, they're promising, but you have no idea what you're going to get from them. I mean, if that's what you're going to get from them, you know, you're in trouble as far as production from the outfield. Now, I happen to think Carlson's going to be a really good player. I like him a lot. The other two, Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill, you know, they've had a couple of years of chances now, and they still haven't really, really developed into what you could call dependable regular players. At least I don't think so. So I think it's fair to say that their outfield is certainly a question mark.
Well, and you know, I really do love Harrison Bader. He's a fan favorite, but he's got to hit the ball better, and you know, the defense isn't just going to carry that. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. I think that there has never been really consistency with Harrison Bader at the plate.
Yeah.
Now, some of that's because of inconsistent playing time.
Yeah. Listen, a couple spring trainings ago, they were talking about him being a 2020 guy. Well, he had four home runs last year, and he had three stolen bases. So they must have been talking about, you know, they'll take him 20 minutes to get to the ballpark and 20 minutes to shower.
You're
I mean,
so
he hasn't
mean.
Even come close. Well, I'm just, you know, that's the reality. And I think sometimes the optimism about the Cardinals gets a little over the top. Look, I
agree with you that sometimes the optimism gets over the top, but
yeah.
You know, some of that's just
Look,
the excitement
I'd be
that we
I'd be
have.
Willing, I'd be willing to put up with a a really good fielding shortstop who hits 220, but I don't think I can have my center fielder hit 220. So, I know he's a good defensive player, but in my mind anyway, he has to do a little bit better than that.
Got about 90 seconds left. What's going on with the Blues right now? A little optimism with Tarasenko moving back into the picture, I hear.
Yeah, that's apparently he's getting pretty close. This is a big road trip for them, Mark. I mean, they're in a bit of a funk. They're basically a 500 team now. And, you know, this isn't an 82-game schedule. This is a 56-game schedule, and they've already played 20 games. So they're in a tough spot because they're missing – it's unfair to think they could be doing much better. I mean, they're missing some really key players, and they're missing about four or five of them. So hopefully they'll get Tarasenko back. Hopefully, Jaden Schwartz and Colton Parayko will come back soon. I think those are two really key guys for them, and they can get on a roll. This road trip, they'll play some teams that are struggling as well, so it'll give them a chance to get going.
Dan O'Neill, anything going on in the book world that you want to share here this afternoon?
Well, a number of my books are on the bestseller list, as you referred to. So, my books are out there. Anybody, talking about the Blues, when the Blues come marching in, or go marching in, I'm sorry, is a great coffee table book and highlights the history of the Blues, as well as their Stanley Cup championship season. And then I have the Cardinals Celebration book, which is about the magic of the Cardinals in the 1980s. And both of those are great books as far as pictures and things like that.
I got to tell you, I'm watching the WGC Workday Championship, and Victor Hovland is in the process of maybe putting up a number that I'm likely to put up, at least an 8. Probably a 9 or a 10, and he was minus 8 on the day before all this, but he just blew up, hit the had to get out of the sand, went into the brush, crisscrossed back into the sand with a lip, then went into the water. It is a mess. I like seeing professional golfers do that every once in a while, Dan. It makes me feel better.
That's like your way to work every morning, isn't it? Something like that.
He's hitting his seventh shot. Oh, his seventh shot on a par four almost went in, and he's got a lot of work just to get that snowman. Dan O'Neill, we'll talk soon. I appreciate it. 3:46 at the Voice of St. Louis. We're back.
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain. Backward.
This is a Flashback Friday. Flashback. Number one songs of the 70s to today.
They don't make music like that anymore.
With Mark Rudin on KMOX.
This might have been one of the first little melodies that I was attached to when I was 6 years old, 1971. The Osmonds, One Bad Apple. It was number one 50 years ago today. Fast forward to 1981. It was Dolly Parton. And she was working 9 to 5. She absolutely was working 9 to 5. Big hit in the early 1980s. It was Whitney Houston in 1991 with All the Man I Need. I didn't know this one by the title. I had to listen to this one earlier. But yes, I do remember All the Man I Need from 1991. This one's different for me. 2001. Joe Stutter. Is that it? Joe Stutter, Dave?
Joe is the name of the artist.
Still, let me hear a little of this. I don't think I know this one. Oh, I do remember that. I don't think Joe had a string of hits after that. 2011, it was Gaga. And Born This Way. That was number one 10 years ago. And this Olivia Rodrigo, I'm sick of this driver's license song already, but it's number one right now. And all right, that's enough. Did you pull number two by any chance?
I do. I have it.
So this is this is Ariana Grande, correct, Dave?
That's correct, yeah.
Can you tell me the name of the song?
It's called 34 plus 35? 34 and 35?
34 and 35.
I think just her lucky numbers.
Let me hear a little bit here. I think it is her lucky numbers. I mean, I wouldn't add them together and try to figure out what the song is about. Let's hear it. Did you get all the F-bombs out of here?
I had to find the radio edit, which was not easy.
Dirty, dirty, nasty, naughty song, Ariana Grande. And she appreciates math. There it is. All right, we also do this on Fridays.
And now, Mark's new music discovery of the week.
Wow, what a totally amazing, excellent discovery.
I love these three sisters from Los Angeles, Haim. And they're fantastic. Women in Music Part 3, nominated for Album of the Year in the Grammys. And this is a remix. This is all Gasoline on Women in Music Part 3. But they redid it with their buddy T. Swifty, because Taylor Swift had Haim on the road with them for a couple of years, at least one tour. There's T. Swifty. Jam it up here, Dave. Yeah, I like this song. These girls are so good, and they're kind of in the vein of Fleetwood Mac, a lot of 70s influenced rock and roll, which is one of the reasons that I like them so much. This song, Gasoline, great, great record. It was so confusing. I have this record on vinyl from Music Record Shop and my buddy Mark Carter. And I've been in the music business, in the record business, around records for 40 years. And when I got this piece of vinyl, I put it on my turntable running at 33 and a third and it wouldn't work. It was slowed down. I thought it was warped. I got another copy. I put it on. It wouldn't work. Then I figured, I looked at the record. It was 45 RPM. It was a 12-inch record. You can fade that out, Dave. That was 45 RPM. And I'd never seen that in my entire life. And they did it with this record. It sounds great. The reason they did it, it sounds better. All right, let's do audio cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. Apparently, John Boehner has a memoir out, and in the audio version of his upcoming memoir on the House, former House Speaker John Boehner, he says about Ted Cruz that he can blank off in the audiobook. Now, it's not in the book, but it's in the audiobook. We could not find the actual audio, but we think it sounds something like this.
Go f*** yourself, Ted Cruz.
I think that's it. Ted Cruz responding at CPAC today.
You know, yesterday, John Boehner made some news. He suggested that I do something that was anatomically impossible. To which my response was, who's John Boehner?
That wasn't too funny, Ted. I think you could have done better as a comeback to that. But the audiobook will be out soon. There you go. Audio cut of the day, 356. Total Information PM is coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.